This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
DC for you. DC for you.
Place to Be Nation Pop, welcome back to another episode of DC for You, the only all DC comics podcast right here on the Pop Feed. I, of course, am your host, one of your hosts, Russell Sellers, and joining me, as always, the manager, the owner, and, of course, the illustrious co-host of this show, Mr. Todd Weber.
Happy Superman Month to you. Hey, how's it going?
Man, it's going all right. And that is a good enough announcement for what we're doing this month. It's July, of course, so we are going to be going in on the most, I think arguably the most patriotic superhero that that DC Comics has to offer, and that is the Man of Steel himself, Superman. Big Blue Boy Scout, of course, represents truth, justice, the American way, all that good stuff. So we decided let's dedicate an entire month to the last son of Krypton. So this is going to be a big one for us, of course. As you guys know from last month, when we debuted this show, we like to do a one-hour special at the beginning of every month, and this one is no different. But we decided that, once again, we should have a special guest, somebody who's a huge Superman fan. And if you guys will remember from DC Post-Crisis Management, I found a pretty big Superman fan. And this is going to be his first time interacting with Todd. So this is going to be an interesting night, Todd.
It will indeed. Two Generation X guys, I have a feeling we're going to have a lot of the same answers tonight.
Yeah, this is
going to our preferences.
This is certainly going to be a unique situation from my end, being a Gen Y or whatever the hell it is I actually am. Who knows? Who cares? Green jacket, gold jacket. But without further ado, let's introduce the folks to our special guest, and it is from the casualgeekery.com, all the way from Queens, New York. It's Mr. Stephen Ferrari. Welcome to the show, sir.
Thanks for having me. I'm glad to be here, and I'm excited to talk about my favorite hero, Man of Steel, Superman.
That is exactly why we have you on, sir, because you are a huge Superman fan. So before we get into the real meat of the episode, can you tell the folks at home a little bit about your Superman fandom? Like, why do you love this character so much, and at what point did you become a fan?
Well, this dates back to pretty much my birth. I've told this story before. I think I wrote a piece on Place to Be Nation about it as well, but many, many years ago, I was adopted at birth, and it was never anything that anybody kept a secret. It was always just like an open thing, and my parents, my family, never wanted me to feel awkward about it. You know, just it's a normal thing, right? And my grandmother decided, when I was young, as I was starting to come around and be aware of everything, that she was going to read me Superman comics. And she would, as she's reading me these Superman comics, she would make a point of saying, see, Clark Kent was adopted and he turned out really well. So there's nothing for you to worry about. And it just started a lifelong love and appreciation of the character that also probably led me into not only my comics buying habit for the last, almost 40 years now, but also the fact that I went into newspapers, which probably is why I'm so poor.
But I really want you to tell me that your grandma's name is Martha.
It's not.
Damn it.
It's not. I know. It would have made everything perfect.
It would have brought it all full circle. But that is actually an awesome story. Your grandma is cool as shit, dude.
My grandmother is awesome, and I owe so much to her, and probably including the fact that I am right here, right now, talking to you guys.
Man, that is a great story. Now, is this Grandma Ferrari?
Yes, it is.
Awesome. Grandma Ferrari, you are the coolest. You introduced somebody to like superheroes from a young age, and that's a really great story to talk about how Superman is an adopted kid. He's one of those that can serve as a great inspirational story on that end, and as an immigrant's story, which is how I tended to view him from that perspective. But so, man, that's great. You've been a lifelong Superman fan. I certainly became a fan at a young age. I was introduced to like the Christopher Reeve Superman movies, and it kind of like blossomed out from there. Todd, is that also your history with Superman?
Well, no.
No.
No, it's not. I was a child of TV, and there was a show on Saturday mornings called Super Friends.
Oh, yes.
And Super Friends was my first exposure to the Big Blue Boy Scout. And I guess I knew of him in the comics, but I didn't read comics really until I was in my, I don't know, 8 to 10 years old. But whereas I was watching Super Friends cartoons very early, 2 years old, 3 years old. So that was my first exposure. And while he was not my favorite on the team, he was on every episode. And he was, you know, the bastion of right. He was always the moral center. And I've always admired him and have collected quite a few Superman merchandise items over the years, as well as just a, I don't know, 30 long year run of comics of Superman.
Sure. And there are a lot of people out there, I think, that view Superman as that hero who's, you know, he's kind of the elder statesman of the DC pantheon. And sometimes that leads people to think of Superman as not that cool of a character, but one of the purposes of this show is to try and dispel some of those notions and say, you know what, maybe you just haven't really given some of these characters a deep enough chance to really make you a fan. So before we get into like our favorite Superman stories ever, I'd kind of like to go around here and let you guys talk about what story do you think you could pick out right now, like a story arc, an issue, just whatever, that you could hand to somebody and it would make them a fan. Steven, I'll start with you.
So while I was a fan of the character from a very early age, I didn't really start collecting comic books until I was about 12 or 13. And the thing that got me in, that sucked me in, was pretty much the thing that got a lot of people in the early 90s, the death of Superman, right? And I reread that recently, and I'm going through it, not just the death, but everything that came after, World Without a Superman and the Reign of the Superman, which introduced the four pretenders. And I'm going through it, and it struck me how really great that whole run was in introducing the world of Superman, his friends, his family, his enemies, and giving you just this overview of the character and what he means to the world and what he means to everybody that's around him. And by the time, you know, he comes back at the end of Reign of the Superman, it's just this great story that gets you so immersed in Metropolis, in Smallville, in everything about Superman. So it might be weird to think of this huge, gigantic story that was kind of like just a publicity stunt, you know, at the time, as a good starting point. Yeah. For the character, but it really is a great way to get yourself immersed in everything that is the Man of Steel. I think that I would quickly just hand those three story arcs to people and say, read these and you will know everything that you need to know.
And conveniently, they're all collected in a giant omnibus edition now. So you can sit down and read this gigantic single book and it'll tell you that entire story. That is a strong pick. That is certainly one that has stood the test of time and has been in continuous print since it came out. Todd, would you hand that story or a different one to someone?
Well, I definitely considered the death of Superman, especially just that progression where each issue the panels get bigger and fewer and Doomsday's coming and Superman dies on the last page of the Death of Superman issue, obviously. And
spoiler alert.
Surprise. But with the armband and the poly bag, it was a huge media thing. And I thought about that, and it definitely represents the character and how, boy, Stephen, I love that triangle era of the early 90s where you had a weekly Superman book. The Mike Carlin edited Superman family was just tremendous. But I think if I was going to give someone one story that sums up Superman to me, it would not be a Superman branded comic at all. It would not even be a main continuity comic. It would be something that kind of fits in the Under the Elseworlds banner from 1996, written by Mark Waid and drawn by Alex Ross, painted by Alex Ross. I'm talking about Kingdom Come, the story of a retired Superman, Superman who couldn't stand what was happening with the heroes and the vigilantes and how he kind of took himself off the board and comes back. And even though it gets complicated, still, it really represented the essence of Superman to me. His timelessness in this era that I guess Wade and Ross were saying how, we still need a Superman, even in this era of pouches and heroes with giant guns and cyborgs. Superman is still who we look to. And that's my pick. If I was going to say, this is what I think Superman should be to someone.
Those are only three shots at Cable. but that's well done, sir. Kingdom Come is an all-timer classic. Another one that is still in continuous print as we speak. And I'm not sure if it's on DC Universe or
not. It is. I just confirmed that.
Oh.
Yeah, I have I'm the rare quadruple dipper. I own it digitally. I own the original issues. I own the Absolute Edition, and I own a limited slipcase edition with Alex Ross's sketchbook. So that's one I can't get enough of. Kingdom Come is probably, my all-time favorite everything.
I'm only a triple dipper on Kingdom Come myself. But that's a great pick. I love that story.
Yeah, that is a tremendous pick. I think that would absolutely make somebody a Superman fan if you handed that to them as a first story. Well, I'm going to be a little different from you guys. You guys have picked two all-timer classics, stuff that I think kind of transcends the comics fandom. A lot of people really are aware of those two books, though they probably still haven't actually read them or given them a real shot, but they know they exist. The one that I picked was one that I always come back to because it was the book that made me really reconsider why I loved Superman so much. And that was Superman, Batman, Public Enemies. The first story arc in that ongoing series from Jeff Loeb and drawn by artist Ed McGuinness. Now, both of those guys are more associated with Marvel these days, but back in the early 2000s, they had a pretty strong run going on at DC. Jeff Loeb had been writing Superman for a while, and then they decided to do this team book with Superman and Batman. And this first story arc has them teaming up to take on President Lex Luthor. Yeah, at one time, Lex Luthor was President of the United States, which is a pretty crazy thing. But what I love so much about this story isn't just the exciting plot that ultimately pits Superman and Batman against almost the entire DC universe at one point, is how it felt. But it's a picture or an illustration of why they are such good friends and how they feel about each other. And it's in that friendship that I think makes this such an accessible book for people who are probably like, oh, I love Batman, but I think Superman is lame. It's like, well, this book has a co-equal amount of time for Batman, for the Dark Knight. He's in it. This is a classic version of Batman that I absolutely love because I think Jeff Loeb writes Batman better than just about anybody. And I would also say that for his Superman. I love the way he writes this character in this story. At first, he comes off as kind of like a little too self-assured and maybe a little like bordering on arrogant. But as the story goes on, you see that that's not who Superman is at all. That he's actually just someone who really is the best of us, as Bruce Wayne himself points out in the story. And one of the things that that I really love about this this story is that it will show you the superhero side of Superman in a way that makes him fun and engaging. And one of the it has one of the best quotes about Superman I think that has ever been written. And it's when Bruce and Clark are taking on a bunch of supervillains all at once because there's a $1 billion bounty on Superman's head. So all the supervillains are coming out of the woodwork to try and take him down. And it's pretty much just him and Batman taking on this this big crew. Batman gets caught up by a bunch of ice-themed villains who wind up freezing him in place. And through their comm system, he's asking Superman to bring the heat, which means to use his heat vision from way up in the sky to take out some of these villains. And while this is happening, Bruce's inner monologue is just so spot on. The quote goes like this: "It is a remarkable dichotomy in many ways. Clark is the most human of us all. Then he shoots fire from the skies, and it is difficult not to think of him as a god. And how fortunate we all are that it does not occur to him." That right there is just is profound. And it's something that like really speaks to, you know, those moments when Bruce looks at him and says, you know, I always keep my cool around this guy. I'm always so like focused when I'm with him in his presence. But even Bruce is taken aback and in awe of Superman at so many points in the story. It is action-packed from beginning to end. It sets up a couple of other really great stories that also take place in this title. And it's the first step on the road to what is my favorite comics event of all time, Infinite Crisis, as well as a book that I'll talk about in a minute that is my all-time favorite Superman story. But this is the one that I would put in the hands of anyone and tell them that this book is going to make you a Superman fan. So,
pretty good choice.
It's one of my favorite series because I love, like you said, I love Jeff Loeb's writing of Superman, and Ed McGuinness's art is just so beautiful. The way he draws all the heroes, they're majestic.
They really are. Like it's a little bit on the I guess the cartoony side, I guess is how I would kind of describe Ed McGuinness's art at times. But for this story, it fits so well. And it's not just the action that I talked about. Like, I talked about that a lot. But there's a lot of humor in this book. The banter back and forth between Superman and Batman is absolutely fantastic. This is basically a buddy cop procedural just done with superheroes. And it is so much fun from beginning to end. It's one that I like to revisit every so often. Like I'd like to get it at an annual reread, but you know, it's pretty much good anytime. I actually reread a little bit of it today, and man, it just gets better over time.
Yeah, I think we took it for granted a little bit at the time it came out. It was really good, and the art was definitely strong. I think comics were so different then. You were getting bombarded. You were reading everything. I was reading 20 books at a time back then, and this really endures. And I love the interactions and the contrast between the characters. They have both their inner monologues going on throughout, which is funny. So you can contrast their thoughts, their whole styles. You know, Superman's talking about how the dream begins here. Batman's always the nightmare begins here. It's really good, and it shows you Superman doesn't always. I guess I'm trying to say it's nice to have the Batman contrast to see everything about Superman that stands out, how different he is. And McGinnis's art is definitely something. I warmed up to it a little bit over time. I definitely didn't like the Emperor Joker stuff, but I'd sure like this quite a bit more. And they appropriated this on the direct-to-digital movie, didn't they? The same kind of art style.
Yes, they recreated the Ed McGinnis art style for the movie adaptation, which was really cool.
And I'm just going to have to take offense to something that Todd just said about not liking Emperor Joker. I don't know, man. You know, I've been looking forward to having a nice long conversation with you for so long now, and that was just like a stab in the heart. That's one of my favorites.
Well, you know, I probably like something that you hate too, though.
That's probably true.
That is the wonderful thing about comics is you can like so many different things, and like you can dislike so many different things, but there's always something for you. And that is true. That is very true of Superman comics. But that's the segue here, if you will, into what each of us would pick as our all time favorite Superman story. Now this was one that I knew the answer to immediately. I don't know if you guys struggled with this one or not, but it's a no brainer answer for me. So I'll save mine for last. So Stephen, of course, as the guest of honor, you get to go first here. What is your all time favorite Superman story?
That's so tough. There's so much really great stuff to choose from. Like I said, I really love I do enjoy Emperor Joker anytime that you can get a nice, long, fun Mixies Piddalick story. I'm there.
That explains why Todd doesn't like it.
Yep.
There's so much absurdity to that, and if it's done right, you can have so much fun with it. And I thought that they did a great job with that in Emperor Joker. But I think right now, and this changes pretty much every day. Ask me tomorrow and I'll have a different answer. But there was a recent miniseries that I really loved as it's another one of the Superman, Clark Kent growing up to become the Man of Steel stories written by Max Landis called Superman American Alien.
That was a good series.
I was not expecting to like it as much as I did, and I think that's probably why it hit so hard as a fun book that I've reread probably two or three times already, and I think I bought the hardcover just a few months ago. You know, it's a story about Clark Kent growing up and becoming the Man of Steel and meeting all of these people that are going to be important to him. And it's just so well done. The art is beautiful. The writing is fantastic. No matter what I think about Max Landis as a person, because he can be really obnoxious when you hear him talk, the man can write a good Superman story.
I fully agree with that. I was not expecting to like American Alien whenever it was coming out. But then I picked up that first issue and was just instantly hooked. Like, this is for
me. Right from the first page.
yeah, it gets you. And I love how you used a different artist on every issue.
Yeah.
It played like a greatest hits of different comic artists from Max Landis' perspective. And they were all so perfectly chosen for their individual stories.
Just match everything to the right, match the writing to the art, the story, everything was just so well done.
Yeah. Another series that you can read right now on the DC Universe app in its entirety. It is a tremendous read. I would highly recommend that issue. That's a good pick, man. That is a really good pick. Now, Todd, your favorite Superman story of all time, and I already know, spoiler alert, folks, Mixis Pitalik will not make an appearance in it.
He is not in this particular story. This is a done-in-one issue, and again, it goes back pre-Crisis on Infinite Earths. Actually, it's concurrent with Crisis on Infinite Earths, and it was an annual, so it's an extra-length single issue written by a man named Alan Moore, kind of an upstart writer, and illustrated by somebody named Dave Gibbons. So I don't know if those guys ever worked together on something. Sure it would be, besides this, it could be pretty interesting.
I think I've heard,
I've heard of either of those guys. I'm going to have to.
Definitely need to Google those two guys. I think they got some talent. They have a future in this business.
Yeah, as we would say in the wrestling family. This is Superman Annual number 11 from 1985. The title of the story is For the Man Who Has Everything. And I don't want to give away too much, but I do just hold it up as sophisticated Superman. Still has the essence of the character, what makes him this paragon of virtue, and how much he has to sacrifice to be Superman, to be the one who protects Earth. And it's just a masterwork, and it's all done in one issue. It's fantastic. The villain is a guy named Mongol, who we see a little bit later in Green Lantern. And speaking of Reign of Superman, I guess, a little bit. And I just got to say, it's to think that they wiped this continuity and started over. And I was thinking about picking the Man of Steel as maybe my comic to show somebody, even though they've retconned half of that already. For the Man Who Has Everything, I think holds up for me as my absolute favorite Superman story. Gets to the essence of the character, really talks about his tragic nature, because there is a tragedy to Superman. He has to, he could live forever, and he's in love with Earth, in love with Earthlings, and they're all going to die, and he'll endure a lot, endure past them. You know, I also thought about All-Star Superman and Action Comics 775, so I have a feeling one of those two will be talked about fairly soon.
Another tremendous pick. That was also adapted in a really great episode of Justice League Unlimited.
That's right.
It was episode 2 of that show. So if you guys have never seen that, plug up DC Universe again. It's on there. And it is it's a bit different in places from the comic story, since Robin is involved in the comic book version, and
Jason Todd Robin.
Yes, it is Jason Todd, and they remove Robin from the story in the Justice League Unlimited adaptation. But it's still pretty spot on. So really great stuff there. Now,
it's a shame that they take Robin out, because it eliminates one of the fun gag lines from that as they're walking into the Fortress of Solitude. And Batman tells Robin to have the eyes forward, chum.
Yeah, Robin definitely had an eye on Wonder Woman, I think. I think she was a little bit out of his Justice League there. But I digress. Now, my favorite Superman story of all time is probably going to come as absolutely no surprise to anybody that knows me and my Geoff Johns fanboyism. So let's just go ahead and put it out there. My favorite story is, of course, the Brainiac story arc from Action Comics 866 through 870, written by, of course, Geoff Johns and drawn by just one of the all-time great artists on Superman or any other book, really, Gary Frank. this is a pretty action-packed story, as the title might confirm. But the backbone of this is Geoff Johns reveals that every version of Brainiac that Superman has ever encountered up to this point has been a drone copy of Brainiac. But the real one, Zero Edition, the version one, if you will, Brainiac, is finally coming to Earth, and he is going to, basically do to Earth what he's done to so many other planets. He's going to shrink Metropolis, that's ultimately one of the things that he's going to do, and he intends to add, the last Kryptonians to his collection, along with adding a piece of Earth and eliminating the planet. But what I love so much about this story is how personal it gets for Superman, for his relationships with the people of Earth, specifically with his parents, and then, of course, his relationship with the newly arrived Supergirl, who at this point was introduced just shortly before this story by the previously mentioned Jeff Loeb on Superman Batman, because the second story arc introduces Supergirl in that title, and that was drawn by
Michael Turner.
Yeah, the tremendously talented Michael Turner,
man.
who is gone too soon. He's one of the all-time best, and that story arc is just as good, almost just as good as Public Enemies to me, and it is gorgeous in its presentation. So highly recommend that one. But Brainiac is a story that really cuts to the heart of Superman, and it's something that Geoff Johns did so well. I wish that he had a much longer tenure on Superman, because every time he writes him, he just gets it. He just gets what I want to see out of Superman, because he writes him as Clark first. He writes him from that that immigrant, child of two worlds kind of mentality. And seeing how this story progresses, and seeing how Clark is challenged in ways that he never has been before, because this Brainiac is super powerful by comparison to the other versions of him that have come before. It's one that's going to keep you on the edge of your seat throughout. It's pretty much a 90 mile an hour joyride from beginning to end. I can't get enough of this. Gary Frank's art pops off the page. It is dynamic. It is alive whenever you're reading it. I don't think anybody draws Superman quite as close to Christopher Reeve as Gary Frank does. But it's almost spot on. And say that.
I think my favorite part of Gary Frank's run drawing Superman here, because just the clarity in his face and how much it resembled the Chris Reeve version just felt so right, and it made it feel so familiar. Probably for a lot of people, and just like the perfect Superman.
It really is. The way it's written, the way it's drawn, this comes off as like the perfect Superman. This is him. This is how he is supposed to be. And this is also a story that'll break your heart.
The end.
The ending to this one, I don't want to spoil it for anybody that hasn't read that might go read this one, because I think the ending is a much bigger gut punch if you don't see it coming.
I am not ashamed to admit that the ending of this story, I had to put the book down because the tears were just flowing.
Yeah, it's one that it feels like it comes out of nowhere, but man, what an emotional crescendo that this story has. It is one of the most affecting Superman stories, one of the most affecting comic stories that I think has ever been put to page. So Superman Brainiac is my pick for like my all-time favorite Superman story, one that I will read again and again and always, always get something out of it. So I hope other people will go out there and pick that one up too, and pick up all the stories that have been mentioned here, because there's so many that we haven't touched on, but we've talked about so many great ones that'll get you started. So if you go on DC Universe right now, you can find every single one of these, and you can like stream them all, and you will, I guarantee, find at least one of these is going to hit with you.
When I'm done doing this, I'm going to grab my hardcover copy of Superman Brainiac, and I'm going to reread it just because.
You see, that's the effect of a good Superman story. It draws you in, makes you want to like really root for this character and just keep going with it. You can't help it. It's that good. Well, folks, those are our comics picks. But as we mentioned, this is the hour special. So when we come back from the break, we are going to take a look at Superman and other media, our favorite live action and animated version. So stay right there. We'll be right back.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Place to Be Nation's JT Rosero and Chad Campbell here. We want to let you know that we have over 24 podcasts available on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and PlaceToBeNation.com. We now offer them to you on two great feeds. On the Place to Be Nation Wrestling feed, we dive into topics running the gamut from today's WWE to the glory days of yesteryear and the ins and outs of the territory days. In addition to our full-length shows, we also deliver to you special pod blasts on topics old and new.
The Place to Be Nation Pop feed is a veritable treasure trove of great content. Offer tremendous shows covering the land of movies, television, life, comics, and sports, brought to you by the most knowledgeable and insightful folks in the podcast world.
You can find all these great shows, plus archives of our past podcasts from over the past 8 years as well, by subscribing to both feeds on iTunes. And while you're there, be sure to rate and leave feedback as well. All of these shows, plus others, available on PlaceToBeNation.com, where we cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus in-depth stretch projects, and much more. Be sure to support our site by using www.PlaceToBeNation.com/Amazon when doing your online shopping. We want to thank our friends at Boneheads, Wing Bar, ProWrestlingOnly.com, and TheHistoryOfWrestling.com as well. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr. PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Welcome back, DC4U listeners. We are, of course, here talking with our special guest, Stephen Ferrari of thecasualgeekery.com, all about Superman on this kickoff edition for Superman Month. Now, in the first half, of course, we talked about all of our favorite comics and what we hope will soon to be your favorite Superman comics. But Superman is a character who transcends medium. He is not one to just stay in one platform. So as popular as he was in comics, I'd say that he's probably been equally so, or maybe even more so, in television, animation, and film. So we're going to talk about our favorites from each of these things. Well, from animation and live action anyway. Now, Steven is a longtime Superman fan, and of course, as our guest, you get to go first here. Who is your favorite live-action Superman, and of course, tell us also your favorite live-action Superman film.
Live-action Superman is going to have to be George Reeves from The Adventures of Superman in the 1950s. It was my first live-action exposure to Superman. I would sit on the weekends, I would sit down on the couch with my dad, and he would turn on the old Adventures of Superman show in syndication, and we would sit and we would watch it. And then later on Thanksgiving Day, WWOR9 in New York would do a marathon of the Adventures of Superman, and I would just sit and I would just be just drawn in. And you know, they didn't have the CGI capabilities that they have today. They didn't have, it wasn't even in color, but they were just fun stories about Superman doing good in Metropolis and saving the day. And no matter, the first thing, when I got the DC Universe app, the first thing that I did was start watching The Adventures of Superman. And it just brought me back to being a kid. And just the end of every episode, they would be in Perry White's office talking about what just happened. And Lois Lane would make some offhand remark to Clark Kent about Superman, you know, Clark not being there when Superman was around. And Clark would just look at the audience and wink and smile. And it's just, it will probably always be my favorite live action version of Superman. I love Chris Reeve. And I'm really enjoying some of the new Superman who's on the Supergirl TV show. But
yeah, Tyler Hoechlin.
Yeah, George Reeves will always be my favorite.
Also, like, great pick. That was a really good show that I didn't actually discover until I was a good bit older, because it wasn't even in syndication whenever I was a kid. But
I was watching it first run. Because I'm old, you see.
Todd is fully steering into the hour old title. But
yes.
But Todd, is that also your favorite version of our live action?
But I do have affection for it, and Stephen was talking about that wink at the end of every episode, and that's straight out of the Kurt Swan comics, isn't it? It's the it is Superman, just knowing that he was the reason, and he has to kind of play dumb. And I love Noelle Neal as especially for its time, and imagine having that in your head, and then seeing on 1978 that a man can fly, and that man was Christopher Reeve, and that's my Superman, the guy I'm going to pick for my live action. It's probably no surprise. I grew up with those films, at least the first two. The third one is kind of funny, but I never saw it again after my first time in the theater. And the fourth one I did see in the theater, and I burned my retinas as a result. But Chris Reeve in Superman 1 and Superman 2 was just iconic and was the character. He was this American alien, to pull back from the Max Landis thing, that he represented that point of view so well, where he feels helpless to do everything he could, you know, when, say, Pa Kent dies in the beginning, Pa Kent dies in Superman the film, and he talks about how he couldn't do anything. Just the right balance of determinedness, sense of humor, the being driven. I think he was exactly what that role needed in that time that it was. In retrospect, I wish they had maybe bulked him up a little bit more, but for the time, you know, you bought it. You believed the man could fly. And the problems I have with Superman the film are not problems I have with Christopher Reeve as Superman. The time travel contrivances and all of that. But his performance is so good in both of the first two films, and you believe him at the end of Superman 2 when he says, I'll never forget America again, or I'll never, you can count on me from here on out. I love that moment. He returns the flag to the White House. Just fond memories. And I ended up, my son Evan's middle name is Christopher, based on Christopher Reeve.
See that? Oh man, I didn't know that. That is fantastic.
Yeah, absolutely.
So this was incredibly tough, because of course I had that deep affection for Christopher Reeve. That was my first Superman. And of course, as we're going to talk about in a future episode, I got a pretty good bit of affection for Dean Cain. I thought his take on Clark, pretty spot on. His Superman, it's okay. It's not great, but it leaves a little bit. And then Tyler Hoechlin on the current CW shows. Man, he's real good.
I wish that they would just give him a Superman series.
Real one, yeah.
Yeah. Would watch every week without missing it. Dude's good. He's, you know, I feel like I need a little bit more from him to make the firm call on him, which is the only reason I'm like a little hesitant there. So I'm going to be the controversial one. And I'm just going to go ahead and say Henry Cavill is my favorite on-screen Superman. I feel like he embodied the character in a modern sensibility way that we really needed to see. I mean, we will say what we will about the movies surrounding him. But for me, that his first time out in Man of Steel, he really got me. Like, he really got to me. It was one of those moments that I looked up on screen and I said, I finally feel like there's a modern Superman right here on the big screen. Finally, like, we've had teases of it on the small screen before. I've seen that John Byrne-esque take on the character be brought to life, but not to this scale. And seeing that combined with his evolution as the character, as the movie progresses, it really showed me that they did know how to make a very human-like Superman. He dealt with a lot of deep moral questions, things that would be tough for anybody with, especially with that level of power or even without. And Cavill, as a first-time superhero, shoulders it all and with such determination and, I think, in his way, grace. So I got to go with Henry Cavill, the Man of Steel.
I think probably my favorite scene in Justice League is right at the beginning of the film when they've got the kids interviewing Superman. And they're asking him all these questions. And when he turns and smiles into the camera, it was like it was a revelation, because I liked him as Superman in Man of Steel, and I liked him as Superman in Batman v Superman. But right there in that one moment with not even 3 minutes into the film, it was like, that is what I wanted to see all along. Just the joy in being Superman and knowing what he can do to help people, and the appreciation of his surroundings.
He keeps a level of humility about him.
Yeah.
That I think gets glossed over by a lot of people in their criticisms of the films he's in. But that scene's a really good illustration of it, how he's still not comfortable with the fame of it all, but he's trying to be what he thinks the world needs him to be. And the bad CGI on his face aside in that scene,
to go there.
I did. I'm going to call
which
it out.
Which you don't notice it unless you're looking for it.
Yep.
Yeah. It's tough to notice if you didn't know it was there. You would probably walk right by it and not even see it. But that scene is so well written and so well done. Like I felt like at first I was wondering just exactly what they were doing with that opening. But I was like, you know what? This is definitely a Joss Whedon contribution to this movie, and I think it's better for it. So yeah. That scene absolutely kind of encompassed Superman. And there was some headcanon floating around out there for a while that the kids who were interviewing him were actually the foster kids from Shazam. And I thought that would have been really cool as a revelation down the road. It totally didn't happen. But
so random.
I know, but headcanon, I actually really love the idea that maybe that was Freddie Freeman maybe standing off to the side asking him these questions and really tripping out over it.
You know what? That's what it is to me now.
Yeah, that's it would be so freaking cool if it's revealed that that's actually what they intended it to be. So, yeah, folks, Man of Steel is a movie that I think people are going to look back on more fondly as the years go by than they did at first. I think more people are going to discover it and see that, you know what? They actually had something here. Maybe things didn't stay on the rails the way they should have been, but this is a better movie than it gets credit for. So moving on from that, we've discussed our favorite live-action Superman. Now to a medium where Superman is certainly even more prolific than he is in live-action, and that's in animation. He's got untold number of animated movies and television series out there. It spans generations, decades worth of stuff. So this one, I think, is an even tougher choice than the live-action picks. So, Stephen, once again, I come to you first. Who is your favorite animated Superman, and do you have a favorite animated series or an animated movie version of the character?
I think that I think probably the most popular answer for this is going to be Superman the Animated Series in the Paul Dini Bruce Timm verse. Just bringing the character back after many years of not having an animated show on the screen. And that certainly is something that I revisit a lot. But I really love – I'm going to go back to the original, to the first. I'm going to go back to the Max Fleischer cartoons.
Nice.
Because they are just so stunning. Even all these years later, it's been, what, 78, almost 80 years now since those newsreels were created, those cartoons were created. And they're still so visually stunning, and they're so well done, and it's amazing how well they hold up. I could sit down and watch those at any time, and, you know, maybe they're not as memorable in terms of all the ancillary characters that are involved in it. They're all kind of throwaway bad guys that Superman's fighting. But everything is just so perfectly early Superman. It's just such – every episode is just great.
I would fully agree with that. That series ran from 1941 to 1942, and every bit of it on DC Universe right now, and remastered too. Like it's really cleaned up and transferred well.
I think I've had those cartoons on DVD at least five different ways.
Man, I was introduced to that series as a kid after the Christopher Reeve stuff, but it's amazing to me just how much the Christopher Reeve take on Superman pulls from this. It's tremendous, and you're right, it holds up so well. This animation style is timeless. One of the best versions of the character, easily one of the best takes. Strong pick, sir. Very strong pick. Now, Todd, do you have something different to share with the people?
I have a ton of respect for the Fleischer Superman. Iconic, honestly. Just beautiful, fully scored. It's movie quality cartoons. But they are of their time. And I've watched sometimes for the story, not just the aspirational wanting to be Superman or wanting to relate to Superman. My favorite animated Superman is very tightly wrapped with the comic books of the time, the post-crisis John Byrne, Marv Wolfman series of Adventures of Superman and Superman. Oh. And that's called Ruby Spears Superman from 1988. It was a lone season of Saturday morning cartoons, my senior year of high school. So on Saturday morning after the football games, I'd be staying home watching Superman cartoons and Muppet Babies and whatever else was on with my two brothers. But the Ruby Spears Superman is really terrific animation, and the stories especially were reflecting that updated Lex Luthor, updated relationship with the Kents. Each episode had a kind of a co-feature or an after feature that talked about young Clark Kent, and because there was no Superboy anymore. And so this was the adventures of young Clark Kent kind of secretly using his powers. Just a great series that exists on iTunes now. I was very happy that they put it out. I think it's something like 15 episodes. And to me, it's really good for what it is. You know, there have been the Bruce Timm series is fantastic too, post-Batman the Animated Series. But this one has a very special place in my heart.
I don't think that I've seen those since they originally aired. And I watched every episode when it aired, but I don't think I've seen them since they've originally aired.
Yeah, it was so, I don't know, surreal that at one point I wondered if I'd really ever watched them at all. They were gone forever. I hadn't seen them in, I don't know, the 28 years. And then they came back in animation in iTunes.
I'm going to have to plunk down some money to Apple and grab those to watch.
I may have to do that as well, because that is the only place that I'm aware of you can actually watch those now. So that's, man, both of those picks are absolutely just tremendous. So you guys have both called out my favorite picks. It's hard to really segue into that one. It feels like a little bit of an anticlimactic moment here, but yeah.
No, it's good, though. It's really good.
That Superman the Animated Series from Bruce Timm and Paul Dini for the DC Animated Universe. Of course, it ties into Batman the Animated Series, Justice League, Static Shock, JLU. That version of the character is my absolute favorite animated take on Superman. And of course, he carries over into Justice League and Justice League Unlimited. In the television show for Superman, I believe he was originally voiced by Tim Daly.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, some contractual obligations for Daly meant that he had to leave the role just before they launched Justice League. But he was replaced by an actor named George Newbern, who is still to this day the voice I hear in my head whenever I read Superman comics. I love Tim Daly. I think he does a tremendous job as Superman whenever he gets to do it, and he still does it occasionally for animated films. But George Newbern, I felt like, was the guy. Like he captured that voice of Superman, the tenor of it, the ability to be all things to all Superman fans, I felt was wrapped up in his voice and in his inflection, his tone, just everything. This guy is it. He is the voice of Superman to me. That's what Superman sounds like. So, he is my all time favorite Superman. When it comes to animation. He also voices him in a few video games, including the very popular Injustice series. So, yeah, I think you guys have already called it out. Superman the Animated Series, great show, vastly underrated, ran for 3 seasons and is all on DC Universe. And yep. What's so cool about it is that if you love Justice League and Justice League Unlimited, a lot of the big plot threads that run through those shows actually begin in Superman the Animated Series. And that show is also responsible for introducing that universe's animated versions of Aquaman, The Flash, and the Kyle Rayner Green Lantern. So,
which blew my mind when they actually had Kyle as the Green Lantern on the show. Absolutely, just mind-boggling to me. I couldn't believe it.
And it made sense for the time because it was late '90s, and Kyle was the only Green Lantern in the comics at the time. So they kind of, sort of give him Hal Jordan's origin, like remixed with Kyle Rayner's. And of course, they also introduce their take on Sinestro in in that universe. A version that, I'll be honest, I'm not very fond of. But that was long before the Geoff Johns revival and the rebirth, if you will, of one Thal Sinestro. But that is a topic for another time.
Well, let's not forget the greatest Lex Luthor of all time.
Clancy Brown.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Greatest performance or characterization of Lex that's ever been done started there.
In any
and
media.
Clancy Brown's voice is what I hear whenever I read Lex Luthor in comics.
Thank you. Abso-freaking-lutely. His voice is iconic. Like, he is Lex Luthor. Nobody has performed the character better than Clancy Brown. It is just so sleazy and yet like so upstanding and like I don't know, naturally sneering in his voice. Even when he's being sincere, you can still catch a sneer in it. He's so good. He's so freaking good. You know, no disrespect to any live action Lex Luthers except for, well, maybe Eisenberg. But nobody can touch Clancy Brown. He's the best. And I love Michael Rosenbaum as much as anybody on from Smallville, but
he's a distant second.
As good as he is, as good as he is, he ain't this. This is next level. This is transcendent. This is that comic book version of Lex brought to loud screaming life, and it is wonderful.
It's remarkable to see how much of Jack Kirby's Fourth World ended up on there.
Yeah.
So just a big fan. I collected all the issues of the tie-in comic book done in the animated style, many of which were written by Mark Miller.
So, oh, nice.
Well, yeah, early comic credit for him. Tremendous fan of that series, obviously, but such a fan of that universe. I mean, that universe will never be bested, the Tim Dini.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think that if you're going to talk about the perfect iteration of the DC universe outside of comics, I think that's it. The Timverse is the DCU at like peak perfection. It's been good in other places. Plenty of people have certainly gotten it pretty well before and since.
But none of them have reached the scope.
No, none of them are
the width and breadth of how much that they introduced in the episodes that they produced. It's just, I think they hit every aspect of the DC universe at one point or another between the various shows that they had.
And
everything was represented, and it was represented so beautifully.
And I mean, Superman especially. I mean, Batman always gets a lot of the credit, but this take on Superman, the Bruce Tim Paul Dini version of him, is just spot on. Like he's not overpowered, but he's not like I don't think he's like too underpowered either. I think they found that balance with him. They perfectly measured the character, really concentrated on a great version of Clark as well. The way they wrote him, the tongue in cheek, the making kind of like smart ass jokes at Lois, and kind of everyone, it makes him both endearing and, strangely enough, unassuming. Like you would look at this version of Clark and say, you know what? I can kind of see why people might not believe that he's Superman. I can almost get fully on board with it. Just a tremendously done series, top to bottom, and the score, the opening theme song for that version of Superman, vastly underrated. Tremendous gem. It's for me, it's just below that iconic Batman theme that they used for the animated series, and of course that came from the Burton films. So, well, I think that about
right at. I remember the day after, probably the week after the Superman the animated series debuted. I was humming that theme song the whole week.
It sticks with you, man. It's one of the best animated theme songs of all time. So. A lot of good picks here, guys. This has been a fun conversation. I've enjoyed talking Superman with, of course, with both of you guys. And before we get out of here, Steven, tell the folks what you got going on right now, and where can people find you if they want to follow more from you.
Well, you can find me on Twitter at Stephen Ferrari, and of course you can also follow my website, The Casual Geekery, at casual_geekery. Several times a week, trying to do a couple posts a day talking about my favorite comic books, TV shows, movies, anything that I like to geek out about. And there's a lot of Superman on there. There's probably Superman's probably on the main page always.
I mean, you wouldn't be a true Superman fan if you weren't pushing the character a little bit.
That's true.
Now, of course, you can find me at Russell_Sellers on Twitter and Instagram. Follow Place to Be Nation Comics at PTB and Comics on Twitter. Join the Facebook group. The Place to Be Nation Comics Facebook group, where you can find links to this and all of our other shows, as well as like a wide variety of comics topics that we talk about there all the time. Todd, tell the folks where they need to follow you.
Yes, on Twitter, I am at Release the Snyder Cut. No, it's at Todd Weber Guitar. I'm just kidding. I have no interest whatsoever in seeing what the Zack Snyder version of Justice League would have been like.
Nope.
That's a topic for another show, I suppose. But was reminded,
I could get into a lot of trouble talking about that.
you might have some insight that we would like to. Well, maybe we'll just have an anonymous source for that episode.
We will throw down the gauntlet on that in a probably not too distant future.
Yep. Yep. The subject of Justice League is rife for shows for DC for you. And on Instagram, I'm at Guitars of Green. So if you want to see pictures of me playing guitar or me in Hawaiian shirts, that's the place to go to.
Who doesn't want to see that?
The Hawaiian shirts are particularly impressive.
Thank you. Yeah, every August.
I envy every photo of you I see.
Thank you.
That collection is impressive as hell. Like, they don't all look alike, folks. I swear that I feel like Todd is wearing a different shirt every time I see him.
I unfortunately am a collector and a hoarder, but I do wear them. They don't just sit here. So, yeah, I've got about 50 to 60 Hawaiian shirts in my collection right now.
Oh, I'm jealous.
Dude, I have a similar commitment to superhero T-shirts, so I can't say much. I'm right there with you. But, yes, you can also, if you guys are regular listeners here on Place to Be Nation Pop, you know that Todd and I are also two of the Sarcastic Four over on the Marvel Age podcast. So make sure you check that one out as well. And with that, we thank you for listening to another episode of DC4U. Hopefully you heard something interesting. Hopefully you're going to go out there, you're going to find some Superman comics, you're going to check out some of the TV shows or movies that we called out, you know. Give Superman a shot. I think that any one of the things that were mentioned here could turn you into a Superman fan. If you're already a Superman fan, then you've got some revisiting to do. There's lots of good stuff that you will find on DC Universe right now. Arguably, I think, for my money, the best value in comics. So,
Folks, we are not sponsored by the DC Universe app,
but we might as well be.
Yeah, good Lord, it's so good.
You should be. all the plugs that we've been giving them this whole episode.
I mean, they get free plugs from us, so they probably don't mind. But you know what? Hey, DC, if you want to sling a little money this way, we'll keep promoting the hell out of your app. I mean, we're going to do it anyway because we're kind of reliant on it. So please don't ever take it away from us. We've gotten used to it. We need it in our lives. More people are going to discover it. I guarantee you that. And they're going to see that it's such a great investment for comics fans, or even for any fans. Like, if you're a superhero fan, get on this. It's so good. And with that, Superman Month will continue next week. And, of course, throughout the month of July, we hope that you will come back. You will enjoy some more of the Big Blue Boy Scout with me and Todd. Steven, thank you so much for joining us. This was a really good time.
Thank you, Steven.
Thank you for having me. It's always a pleasure to talk to you guys.
Absolutely. And we will definitely be inviting you back for future DC4U episodes. With that, thank you again, folks. And we will see you next time.
DC4U.
Place to Be Nation, this is the manager, Todd Weber, telling you all about what's new on the Place to Be Nation Wrestling and the Place to Be Nation Pop feeds for the first week in July. Over at Hard Traveling Fanboys, my brethren, Greg and Nick, have started Spider-Man Month looking with a countdown of Spider-Man's top villains. We also had Geek and Sassy featuring Tim Capel talking about Stranger Things 1 and 2 getting you ready for Season 3. We also had the cutest couple in Place to Be Nation Pop. That's right, Steve and Kelly talking about the songs of 1994, Regulate and Stay, I Missed You, on their Songs with Friends podcast. Over on the wrestling feed, we had the latest and greatest talking WCW, Jennifer, Greg, Tim, all talking about War Games, The Match Beyond, featuring lots of J.J. Dillon submissions. We've got lots of great shows on PlaceToBeNation.com, iTunes feeds, Spotify, wherever the hell you get your podcasts, every week here, PlaceToBeNation.com, your only place to be in this pop culture world.